Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the maiden broadcast of Golden Sephira Radio. My name is Heather McCrae, and I'll be your guide for the next 30 minutes. I'm an experienced master's level special educator. I work as a coach to anyone with learning disabilities and or autism spectrum issues and is ready to see themselves as a super person, not a disabled person. I am also a student of Universal Kabbalah and Wicca in the lineage of Lilith. For more information about my connections and what I do, please visit my website at goldensephira.com. That's goldensephira.com. My goal for our time together is to offer experiences that bring light, hope, and healing. All of my titles may sound scary and hippy-dippy and whatever, but I am all about grounded spirituality. My guests are people in all facets of life who draw down spirit to earth and help others do the same. We are all people who want to live a full and fearless human experience. We don't hide behind our spirituality to escape the world. We bring it. Now, on the calendar of events, on Wednesday, January 11th, 2012, from 8:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., I will be hosting an informational webinar entitled Boundaries, Creating a Healthy Living Environment for Children with Behavior Challenges. That will take place, as I said, on Wednesday, January 11th, 2012 at 8:30 p.m., and it's a 30-minute informational webinar. It is free. You can log on to my website, goldensephira.com, for more information. Today's second order of business is our affirmation for today. I have a universe of possibilities to choose from. The best thing I can do for myself in any situation, good or bad, is to focus on staying relaxed and open. Problem solving is most efficient when we are able to think creatively, and in order to do that, our minds and our hearts must be open, and in order for that to happen, we have to calm down and relax. When I am relaxed, breathing in through my nose and out through my mouth, ignoring the noise around me or especially in my head, I have a whole universe of possibilities open to me if I want it. It is by will alone that I set my mind in motion. Today's affirmation, I have the ability to solve any problem if I am open to it. My goal is to stay calm, focused, and peaceful, breathing in through my nose and out through my mouth. Or if I'm getting mechanized assistance, I still focus on calming and steadying my heartbeat, trusting what I know, not giving into fear. The tools I have available are my directed will, an open mind, an open heart, and regulated breathing. Here is today's Path of the Soul Destiny card reading. I found this app on Facebook, and I just love it. These are created by Cheryl Lee Harnish, and you can find it as an app on Facebook. The card that was drawn today is called Egyptian Eagle. This is the time to release all your past ideals that no longer serve you. If you've been doing inner work, this card represents its completion and a shift into the new. If you are just beginning, this card represents that it is time to begin your inner work. As we make these great life shifts, those who were once close seem to drift away. Take time to thank them for the lessons you've shared. Egyptian Eagle offers the higher perspective and viewpoint. That was awesome. Excuse me. Now on to our guest. Stacey Beth Shulman is the Curvy Yogini. Stacey is a tantric hatha yoga teacher and yoga therapist in the Atlanta area. She is also, I know as a friend, so much more. Welcome, Stacey. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for being on the show today. Let's get started. Stacey, what got you interested in yoga in the first place, and when or why did you decide you wanted to teach? I know that's a loaded question, right?
No, it's a great question. I started taking yoga classes because I felt terrible in my body. I felt like there was nothing I could love about myself. And I really found everything to love about myself through my practice. And as I found things to love about myself in my practice, I really wanted to help other people learn to love their bodies as well. And that started the journey of my becoming a yoga teacher.
Can you, when we were talking initially about you coming in the show, you told me a hilarious story about one of your first introductions to yoga and somebody teaching you guys using a book.
Oh, gosh.
Do you remember that story? I just thought that was hilarious.
I do. So my first exposure to yoga beyond my mom and her friends kind of taking a yoga class a long time ago when I was pretty young, and this was in the early 70s.
Right.
That was my first exposure to yoga, but my initial exposure to yoga in a yoga class was at a YMCA when I was in college. I didn't take yoga as an elective. I took it at the Y in the community, and it was taught by a woman who didn't really know much about yoga, didn't really know anything, but she's a massage therapist, and she thought she could kind of, like, do this.
Wing it, yeah.
Yeah, she thought she could really wing it. And this was very much in the early 80s, so yoga was still, you know, yoga was not what it is today. So we all met at the YMCA on Sunday afternoon, and she had this little paperback book, and it had pictures of a man in a Speedo bathing suit, and he would be in these postures. So we'd all look at the book, and we'd study a particular posture, and we'd figure out how we were going to do it, and then we'd all go run to our spots, and then we'd all get in the posture, and then she'd say, okay, jump, and we'd all jump in the posture, and then we'd all look at each other, and we'd go run back to the book and figure out the next posture we were going to do. And so I figured out that was probably an Ashtanga book, because
right.
Ashtanga has a lot of jumping, and it's a
right.
very athletic form of yoga.
That's so
it was
funny.
Not the yoga that I do today. It wasn't the yoga I really wanted to do then. And I think after a couple of classes, we all just sort of slid it away. So I bought myself a book of yoga, and I tried to do it at home.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of did a little bit here and there. But it wasn't until much later after college that I was really exposed to yoga as I know it today.
So, Stace, tell me about your first class at Jaishanti, because I know that had a big effect on you, especially as you were talking about your relationship to your body.
Yeah. So, you know, I had done some yoga in a dance class called Dance Kinetics, and it was a Kripalu-style yoga. And then I had gone a little bit later to another Kripalu-style studio in Atlanta that just didn't really meet my needs, and I got frustrated, and eventually I left. And actually, before that, the dance class had finished, and the teacher wasn't teaching anymore. So fast forward a couple of years, I really wasn't doing anything at all in terms of movement. I had been for a couple of years prior to that, along with yoga, I was doing a lot of aerobics, and I had really bad shin splints. And the yoga was helping me to stretch out, but then I got frustrated with the studio, so I left. Anyway, let me fast forward to the question that you're asking. I saw this tiny little ad. We're all ADD. I saw this tiny little ad in a newspaper advertising a yoga class, and I figured, well, I'll just go. And, you know, I hadn't really been moving for several years. I had gained weight. It was pretty significant. I felt really bad in my body. And like I said, there was just nothing to love. I felt like there was nothing to love in my body. And when I walked into that studio, which at the time was Jaishanti Yoga in Canler Park, I just felt this immediate sense of I've come home. Like this was home. And my teacher was Bill Huffschmidt, who now goes by William Huffschmidt. But when I walked in the door, he smiled. He greeted me. He didn't laugh me off the planet for coming to yoga. And he introduced me to the wonderful world of yoga with props. And it just made everything so much better. And I felt better. And that was my first introduction to yoga as I know it today and as I teach it today.
I can remember when you invited me to go to a yoga class at Jaishanti. I had no idea that you could do yoga with props either. And I had an experience similar to yours. I didn't know. I mean, you had done, even with what you'd done, more yoga than I had. I just knew that yoga was a cool thing. You know, walking into Bill's class, first of all, he was a guy. And I thought, okay, I'm taking yoga from a guy. Okay.
Right.
But he
right.
was so kind and so heart open, you know what I mean? I don't know how to describe it. His heart was wide open. He made it very clear that it was a safe space. And I just, you know, remember taking classes with you and just being in bliss because it was so safe and so relaxing. And can you tell me a little bit about how you came to Curvy Yogini and kind of tell me about your yoga practice now?
So my yoga practice now, I really tried to take what I learned from William. He was one of my teachers. He assisted my teacher training. So he's been one of my teachers both on the mat and, you know, beside the mat as I was going through teacher training. And so my classes now as Curvy Yogini are very open. They're very welcome to people of all shapes and sizes. I use props in my classes, and I have people in my classes who tell me that they're, you know, who tell me that using props is a new experience for them, that they've, you know, that they've never used props before, and they really appreciate how props affect their practice. So that's a real important part of the way that I teach. It looks like we have a caller. Would you like to take the caller?
Yeah, I think we should. I think that'd be super. We should definitely take a caller. Let's
Yay!
See what. Yay! Go ahead, caller. You're on the air. Are they on the air? Well, let's keep going and see what happens.
Okay. Sure.
We're all in this together, so whatever happens, it's all good.
Right.
I love what you said about. I loved what you said about props. Are you there, caller? We're still working on it. Michelle, let us know when the caller's in because we're here. Let's see. You were talking about.
Oh, there.
Are you there, caller? We can't. Caller, are you there? Yep, we can't hear him. That's a bummer.
Okay.
Caller, if you can hear us, please call back. We can't hear you. So let me ask you, Stacey, when you were first looking into teaching, you had some experiences that were very telling to me, just from a heart space and also my relationship to my own body.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and how that kind of led you towards the branch on the, and as you explained it to me, the branch on the yoga tree of the kind of yoga that you do?
So I'm one of those people that when I find something I like, I want to teach it to everybody else. I want to bring it to everybody else. And it was very natural to me to think about becoming a yoga teacher. And there are a lot of different styles of yoga, just as there's a lot of different shapes and sizes of people. And through those different philosophies, sometimes it can be a little, oh, I don't know how to put it. There's just a lot of different philosophies of yoga, and as well as styles. And so I really went researching to find the school for me. And I looked at a couple of local schools, and this is a school that a lot of people here had gone through, and I thought, well, I'll give it a try. So
sure.
I talked to the person who teaches, who's head of the teacher training, and what he told me was that that I have a yoga heart, but I don't have a yoga body, and that possibly I'd like to go to another school in Atlanta and study meditation and become a meditation teacher instead. And I was really devastated by that. It was really it was really hard for me to hear. Being someone who has what I call a generous body, but a body that still, you know, is healthy and that enjoys movement and has a right to both be healthy and enjoy movement. So it was really hard for me to hear coming from someone who, you know, trains people in yoga that that was his philosophy. Fortunately, that's not everybody's philosophy in yoga. And I think as more and more people want to learn yoga and want to experience the benefits of yoga, more and more teachers are learning that people of all shapes and sizes can come to classes. And, you know, people ask me all the time, what style of yoga should I do? And I tell them, the style you want to do. Because someone who's who's a very small frame and a very small body can do Ashtanga. Someone who's large framed and has and is in a larger body can do Ashtanga as well. You know, it's just, it's a different, they're going to have two different experiences, but they're still going to be doing the same kind of yoga. So,
oh, yeah, and I always laugh. We had a neighbor when I lived in Atlanta, excuse me, who did hot yoga. Mm-hmm. And when she described it to me, I thought, oh, there's no way. I would faint within the first 5 minutes being in a hot room.
It's a very different experience to do hot yoga. Just like it's a very different experience to do a restorative class or to do a moderate class or yoga for beginners or, you know, yoga for dog lovers. You know, there's all kinds of yoga out there now. And really, seriously, there is less dog yoga.
I know.
Yeah.
Dave, I've got a question for you. What is it about your yoga practice that helps you to stay grounded spiritually?
Oh, gosh. I think it starts with my breath, and it starts with self-acceptance. And that's what my yoga has taught me more than anything, to practice self-acceptance in the moment. And that my flexibility may vary from day to day, but that doesn't make me any less of a student of yoga. It doesn't make me any less of a teacher of yoga. Right now, I'll tell you, I'm struggling with a knee injury, some knee pain. And so that means that there's things that I can demonstrate in class and there's things that I just can't demonstrate in class right now that don't feel safe for me to demonstrate. Does that make me any less of a teacher? No. It makes me a smart teacher, and it makes me a teacher who sets the example for her students that we meet ourselves where we are in the moment. And isn't that spirituality? Isn't that the deepest form of spirituality?
Oh, yeah. And also, you know, showing people what it's like to have healthy boundaries with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, ignoring that negative ego voice that says, oh, but you have to teach the whole class and, you know, do what you have to do no matter what. And, you know, not buying into all of that, but showing what it's like to be gentle.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I always tell people in my classes to move towards pain, but stop before they get there. Because the idea here is that we don't want to push through pain. Pushing through pain is when you cause injury. And coming up to the door of pain is right where you want to be. You want the muscles to be stimulated. You don't want them to be exhausted. You want them to be stimulated. And then that gives you that feeling of awareness and aliveness so that when you walk out of class, you know, the sky is bluer and the air is fresher and the chocolate tastes better. You know, that's what you want to get out of your yoga class.
Yeah. Listen, when we talked, you had the most wonderful breath exercise. Do you want to do that?
Absolutely. You want to do it with me?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, cool. Okay. So,
and please, anyone, if you're listening in, join us. It's wonderful and very relaxing. Go ahead.
Thank you. So here's how it goes. What I'd like you to do is find a comfortable seat. And if you're sitting on the floor, make sure that you're sitting upright, that you're in a comfortable upright position. If you're laying on your back, just make sure that your head is a little bit supported. Maybe there's a little support under your knees. If you're sitting in a chair, maybe your feet are flat on the floor to help you ground, help you feel grounded and connected to the earth. And from this place, begin to follow your breath in and out of your body. As you do, maybe you'll place your hand on your belly first and just check in and see what happens when you inhale. And when you inhale, does your belly rise? Excuse me, I just dropped my That was my little earpiece falling to the floor. So let's go back. When you begin to breathe, hand on your belly, and just check in with your body. As you do this, can you feel your belly rise with the breath? as you inhale, the belly should rise. And as you exhale, the belly should fall towards your spine. If you're sitting upright, this will mean that you gently pull your belly muscles in as you exhale. And as you inhale, the belly relaxes. So this is a deep belly breath. Some people call it diaphragmatic breathing. The idea here is not that we're not putting air into the belly, but we're actually putting air deep into the bottom of the lungs, breathing all the way deep into the lungs, so the lungs expand, which then press down on the diaphragm. So they press the diaphragm down. The diaphragm then, which is a muscle that's at the bottom of your rib cage, presses down, and it squishes your internal organs forward, kind of down and forward on the inhale, which makes your belly rise. And then as you exhale, the diaphragm then begins to contract. So it presses up, it pulls up, which presses air out of your lungs and out of your body. So try that a few times. And if it's possible for you to breathe in and out through your nose, try breathing in and out through your nose. And that's the first part of this exercise, is just to tune into the breath.
That's just awesome. I feel so much more relaxed than when we started. That's fantastic, Dave. Thank you.
Yeah. Well, so there's a little bit more we can do with it if there's time, if you want to try a little
bit
more.
Yeah, we've got about a few minutes before we move on to the next part. Yeah.
Fabulous. So from here, from your diaphragmatic breathing, just begin to become aware of breath moving in and out of your body. And maybe you'll close your eyes and start to imagine all those people you're closest to, those people who you love dearly. Imagine them in your head and watch your breath as you breathe, imagining these people you love so dearly. And then maybe as you're breathing, you'll add some people to this group. You'll add people who are important to you. Maybe they're your friends or your neighbors. They might be your coworkers or even your yoga teacher you can add her into. Yeah, and notice your breath as you do this, right? Notice how you're breathing. Does your chest feel full? Does your heart feel full and happy? Yeah. And then from here, just take a moment and imagine one or two people who challenge you in your life. They could also be your friends or your family, but just bring in one or two people who challenge you in your life and notice your breath now. And are you still breathing deeply, or have you changed your breath? Has your breath gotten shallow? Has your breath gotten faster? And can you come back to the breath and maintain that even inhale and exhale, even in the face of challenge and conflict? And then take all this good energy that you've created, all the strength from breathing, even through conflict, and wrap your breath around the whole world. Can you expand your breath so that the whole world can be inside your breath?
God, that's just lovely.
Yeah.
That's just lovely.
So just take another breath or two. Just release all of that. Let it all go. Return to normal breath, whatever it is. And every so often, feel free to play with that and add that into your practice of meditation. Maybe breathing can become your spiritual practice. Very simple stuff. Simple.
That's great, especially for folks like me with asthma, because that's a really nice, calming, you know, that's really lovely. Thank you for that.
Oh,
now,
thanks.
I wanted to make sure that we spent the rest of our time together talking about the workshops that you offer and your work with other humans on the planet. So talk to me.
Sure. So you can find me at www.curvyyogini.com. That's CURVYYOGINI.com. And I live in the Atlanta area, and I teach I teach 9 classes a week now. So I teach a lot of classes, both in Candler Park, which is where I started taking yoga at Jai Shanti, and in Chambly at a little tea house called Zen Tea. so I'm teaching teaching group classes there and a couple of other places as well. When I'm not teaching classes, I do talk to people privately. I do some private work with people. And the modality I use in my private work is a yoga therapy called positional release. And I learned positional release from Lee Albert at Kripalu in the Berkshire Mountains up in Massachusetts. And I'm really excited I get to go back in the end of February. But
oh, my God, that's awesome.
I know, I'm so excited. Back to positional release. So positional release is a very, very gentle form of yoga therapy. The client lays on a table fully clothed, and I put people in various yoga postures, supported yoga postures on the table. While they're in the postures, I work with them with breath. We use breath to release the muscles. So they may be in a supported posture and I'm applying a little bit of traction to their leg. They will then apply a little traction to their leg as well by pulling their hip away from me and taking an inhale and holding the breath in. And then when they're ready to exhale, they release the breath, they release the muscles in the hip. My gentle traction eases the muscles, gives them a little bit more lengthening, and then return them to their normal resting place. And what this does is it really helps people. It helps relieve low back pain. I've lately been helping a lot of people with hip and knee pain. Funny because I have knee pain myself right now. And I also have been doing a lot of work with people with migraine headaches, shoulder, upper neck, shoulder pain that leads to migraine headaches. And people have been finding a lot of relief in that. It's, again, a very gentle way to it's a very gentle approach to yoga therapy. And it's entirely directed by the client and the client's breath. And what people say is that it feels like magic, and it really is. It's most magical. When I'm not doing that.
It sounds extremely relaxing.
Thank you. And when I'm not doing that, I do offer different workshops. There's one in development right now called The Good Enough Practice, talking about perfectionism and how we handle perfectionism in yoga on the mat, but how it translates to the rest of our life.
Faith, can you say that again? Yeah. Your voice was away from the microphone, and we didn't kind of hear you.
Sure. So The Good Enough Practice is one that's in development right now about perfectionism.
Right.
And then beyond that, I do offer yoga for curvy girls and big guys. So that's one that I can go different places and offer. I can also offer restorative weekend workshops, really deep, melty, beautiful yoga designed to help you just release tension and feel refreshed and relaxed.
Yeah, we talked about you maybe coming to the Toronto area. So if anybody has any interest in doing a workshop with Stacey, either in Atlanta or in Toronto, please contact Stacey or me. Stacey, will you give them your website again?
Sure. It's www.curvyyogini.com, curvyyogini.com.
Excellent.
Yeah,
yeah. I can't remember whether we talked about it or not. You told me that you were looking at doing a class about big guys and curvy gals.
Yes, I still do. I still do that. That's a workshop that I offer, and I do it as a series as well. I don't have anything on the books right now, but if people are interested, they're welcome to contact me.
Yeah. Well. Stacey, I can't thank you enough for coming on. This was just wonderful, and I look forward to, if you will, I look forward to you coming back.
Yay, thank you. I'd love to come back anytime.
Thanks so much, Stacey. Have a great afternoon.
Thanks, you too.
Thanks so much. Bye-bye. Well, that wraps it up for us today. Great show, everyone. Please join us next week. Until then, please remember, you are a super person with powers and abilities unique to you. Live in your body and make the most of who you are. We all need you. Light and love to you, super people. We'll see you next week on Golden Sephora Radio. Goodbye.